On this episode of the Generation X Files, it's a very special We the People, Tatiana, because it's your mom. It's the Generation X Files. Today we have a very special We the People. We have a very special guest for our We the People because you don't really know a person until you meet the people in their lives. We've met Tatiana's husband. We've met one of her good friends. And now it's time to meet her mom.
And we've met your wife.
My what?
Your wife was on an episode.
Oh, yeah, that's what you call that person.
And your good friend was on an episode.
Yes.
So, is your mom next?
No, my mom is not going to be on the podcast. I've discussed this with my mom. I don't think she can make it. Well,
all right.
I'm Dan America. This is Tatiana.
Dan, where can I find you?
Where can I find me?
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Human America. You can find me on Instagram at DanAmerica59, on Facebook as Dan America. You can also find me on the Q103 YouTube channel. You can read my blogs at Q103Albany.com and 1057, or Alt1057Albany.com.
Yeah.
Satisfied?
I am.
Okay.
I'm Rock Girl Tatiana on my social media. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and you can find my blogs on alt1057albany.com, q103albany.com, and you can hear me on air on those stations as well.
Da-da! Okay, now do you want to introduce your mom? Or
my mom is here as a guest.
Okay.
Mom, you can introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Beau, and I'm Tanya's mom.
Oh, Tanya. Tanya's my nickname. No one's going to know me as that.
Tatiana's mom.
Oh. What do you mean no one's going to know you as? Well, you have so many different names.
I know. I'm a person of many
hats. I only have two names.
No, that's a lie. That's a
what
lie.
What do you mean that's a
we
lie?
We have determined this in one of our episodes in the past, and we talked about alter egos. Because you have like Macho Wacho and...
Macho the Wacko.
It's my favorite.
He has a name.
It's my favorite. Macho the Wacko. Mock the Jock.
Okay, well, Tatiana's mom, do you have any, are you on social media?
I have a private social media
she
account.
She keeps it low-key.
Okay, so it's a low-key.
I just like to stalk.
Oh, okay. Well, that's it's very gratifying. I'm not nervous at all. Okay, well, without further ado, are you ready?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Wrong one.
Or not, depending what you're going to ask my mom.
I know.
Well, wow, that was suspense. Whoa, I definitely brought up the wrong one there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kind of
fitting.
I suppose. Well, it's labeled suspense. I thought that was the do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, also, thank you to my husband for writing all this music.
Yes.
Thanks, Christopher LaPlante.
Thank you, Chris. I will not call him Christopher. You can call him that. Okay, so are you ready to get to know Tatiana's mom, audience? Well, you already know your mom, right?
I know my mom. And the reason that we are having her on is because I feel like a lot of the times we have guests that we talk about Gen X versus millennials, mm-hmm. but like none of us really experienced Gen X like my mom did. My mom was born in 1960. So, you know, during the 70s and 80s, she was a teenager and in her 20s. So she experienced it in the way that we experience stuff now.
Well, that's relevant to my first question. So do you mind if I call you Tatiana's mom, or do you want me to call you by your name?
You can call me whatever suits you.
Okay. Thank you.
Except
we need an alias.
An alias?
Yeah. What's a cool alias?
Rock Mom?
All right, there you go. Rock Mom.
Okay. All right. Rock Mom. In your opinion, what is a Generation Xer?
A trustafarian, an entitled little, you know, I
no,
know
No, not
it
millennial,
all.
Gen X. Gen X, you're thinking millennial. No, Gen X.
There's a teaser.
So 19 people born 1960. What did we determine? 1964 to 1984.
I used the 61 to 81 61 or the to 65 to 85.
So you're on the edge of Gen X.
I'm on the edge of it.
Yeah. So what do you think think of Gen X versus millennials now? Because you described millennials, the entitlement and stuff.
Gen X's were cool. That's all I could say. There wasn't all this social media that's going on. So I'm sure people would be doing the same thing, but there'd be no proof. the same basic things, you know, kids grow up, etc. But I don't know, the music itself brought a lot of basis to the music that's happening in their generation. But people had to work for what they were doing. If they wanted to become musicians, they had to work at it and things like that. It was a little bit simpler, easier to digest all the information, and I love the clothes.
No, there we go. Good answer. I feel like, Dan, you would agree with that stuff.
Well, what about those self-entitled bratty millennials?
Oh, I don't know. Everything looks like they're wearing machine robot type things, or they're pseudo lumberjacks.
Yeah, all the hipsters.
The hipsters.
Pseudo lumberjacks.
Or everybody's wearing like the same cut of clothes. Nobody's looking where they're going, falling in potholes, etc. I don't know what to say about some of the music. So
this is a good characterization of our generation.
All right. Well, now we're gonna kind of take it a piece at a time. We're gonna go over a lot of the things that we've gone over already, and we're gonna start with sitcoms. Who did it better, Generation X or Millennials?
Generation X.
That's right.
Hands down.
What are some of your favorite sitcoms?
Do we go all the way back to Mary Tyler Moore?
Sure,
to start
why not?
There?
Yeah, sure.
Mary Tyler Moore rocked because it was the first time you had a single woman in the city and she was just going for it. That was fun. It laid the groundwork for a lot of shows. Golden Girls, fun. I enjoyed the Jeffersons, All in the Family. They really reflected a lot of the different angles of culture. So you might have not liked everything, but it was all out there, and nobody was politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, different what do you, time.
But what do you think about these millennial sitcoms?
I don't know. It's a chop shop thing. It's like a chop shop. A, B, C, resolution.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Though I still like the kind of in-between.
What do you mean the
in-between? The early 90s. You know, we talked about this before.
Yeah, we talked about that before, and a lot of the early 90s sitcoms can be considered Generation Xer sitcoms because the focus was on people that were Generation Xers or that weird thing that you and your generation made up. What do you call yourselves? Zennials?
Zennials. We're in between.
Zennials.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever. All right. Next is horror movies. Who did it better, Generation X or Millennials?
X hands down.
That's right.
X hands down. I love them all. I think they had a good foundation with the old masters, but
yeah.
Generation X, they followed them and took it to the next level. Everything wasn't out there. You didn't have to see the guts all the time. It was assumed. We all like guts and stuff, but it was assumed a lot of stuff, so the suspense built so much better than right now.
So, do you have a favorite horror movie?
I like The Shining. I don't know, is that a Generation X? Does he hate that one?
No, it's just funny because we've talked about it on podcasts before for different reasons.
Yeah, I've heard it, but I don't know what you talked. I was like, oh, I hope he doesn't.
If you don't agree, if Dan doesn't agree, it's okay. I argue with Dan all the time.
We never agree on
stuff.
Tatiana will take care of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we don't agree.
All right. Next is toys. Who did it better?
Like kids' toys.
I don't even know what kind of toys they have other than iPhones and robots.
That's true, right?
Right. What else do they have that the kids play with even for millennials?
They have like pretty much the same toys, but their toys are kind of like, it's almost as if they're trying to make them bigger and better. Like everything has a moving part or a microchip or something that makes sounds or lasers or something like that.
Well, and it's like I had to go last year. I always do every year for the holidays. I adopt a family. So I anonymously buy Christmas gifts for a random family in need. And so when I was shopping last year, for this family. I had gotten the kids' wish list, and I was walking through Walmart, and like all the toys were so high tech. Like even the little kid, like, you know, the electronic books or like Leapfrog stuff. I'm like, when we were kids, we had like a Skip It and like cardboard circles, like Pogs. You know what I mean?
Go and do something.
Yeah. Kick the can.
Shopkins. What's up with Shopkins?
What is a Shopkin?
I don't even know.
A Shopkin is like, they're like these little mini things, and there's so many of them, I can't really keep track as to what they really represent or are supposed to be.
I don't even know what they are.
Okay,
are they
good.
Toys?
Tamagotchis. Do you remember Tamagotchis?
Yeah, but we didn't encourage that with you either.
I never
like,
had
think
one.
For yourself, you know, number one. What are these kids going to do if they run out of batteries or if the electric goes down? They don't know how to play.
They have a lot of little figurines. Like toys have gotten smaller from from what I've noticed. Mm. Either they're smaller or they
choking hazards
but action figures aren't the same as they were. Like every action figure has to look so real to life nowadays.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what does that mean, real to life through depictions of cartoons, or real to life what real people look like?
A little bit of both.
They have to be perfect, you know.
I guess so.
I'm just saying, we had sticks and rocks when I was a kid, right? Tell them about when we were kids.
No TV.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. However, coming home from school, they had to go out and play. They didn't even want to sometimes, and I made them go.
This is no. I told you, I grew up very different than other millennials. That's why I don't consider myself a millennial.
Okay.
She totally did. Both of them did. My mother said it's really important for them to learn how to play, so and to let all that go, the energy. She I don't know, maybe on weekends we had some TV, but when we moved to the farm, which was 4 miles away in the summertime, there was zero TV anytime. You had to use your imagination, write
songs. Yeah, we
stayed
in. We lived in a cabin for the summer on our family land.
No running water.
Yeah, like it was like, there was running water in the main house, but no, it was like, because we just played Manhunt and ran around outside and lived by the creek, and yeah, it was awesome.
It's like being real kids, you know?
Yeah.
Told you I didn't grow up like a regular millennial.
But when you like paraphrase it by like playing Manhunt by the creek, I'm pretty sure that's how serial killers were raised.
Could be.
No, I just love, we've deciphered this. I'm not a serial killer. I just love serial killers. Remember we talked about it on the last podcast?
Yes, we did.
And I don't love them in a way of like, I want there to be more serial killers. I just find it fascinating because I love psychiatry.
On that note.
Serial killers are bad. We've already deciphered that. Don't make me sound bad.
But they've become a pop culture thing right now also in this time.
Which is fascinating to me, too, because like I work in psychiatry and I actually work in it and I love it. And sociopaths fascinate me. Serial killers are different. They fascinate me, like the whole process and the mental process. But it's like a hot pop culture thing right now is true crime and serial killers.
Yep.
Like they're glorified almost. It's bizarre.
Okay. On that note, let's switch over to like a topic of the complete opposite nature, or maybe not. So tell us, do you remember Saturday morning cartoons?
Do I?
Yes.
I lived for them. I remember the Beatles as a Saturday morning cartoon. When they were first getting famous and coming to America in the 60s, they had the Beatles. And when I listened to your podcast, I was upset they weren't mentioned on your cartoons. If you want to know the truth,
that
they
was
rock.
Tatiana's fault.
No,
yes, it was.
No.
You were doing the research. I was shooting from the hip.
Yeah, I totally love all the old cartoons. You know, I'm not really into the computer generated thing.
Yeah, like the animation.
I like the art of it. I know the other thing is art also, but I really like the handmade art.
Aside from the Beatles, I know you have other favorites.
Scooby-Doo, he was around for a long time. Sylvester and Tweety.
Mm-hmm.
And Daffy Duck.
You loved Underdog.
Underdog, that's true. Speed of Lightning, God of Thunder.
Oh, we used to have a tape my mom used to listen to all the time when we were kids of Saturday morning cartoons. Remember that cassette?
Yeah, it was fun.
The theme songs. It was a whole cassette tape of theme songs from like original Saturday morning cartoons.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's one technology we didn't shirk on is music in my house.
Yeah, we were allowed to have all the technology when it came to music.
That's for sure.
Well, Next up.
You're like, I'm moving on because I'm agreeing with Tanya's mom way too much.
we're getting to the hairier stuff.
Oh, we'll see.
Now. it's coming up. You know, we're starting off gently, but next we're going to switch over to slang. And what I want to know is three things.
Okay.
Who did slang better, Generation X or Millennials? But also, I want to know if you can introduce us to some cool slang words.
I just want a disclaimer. My mom uses some millennial slang. She's all like about
what?
It. Lean into it.
No, lean into
it. Like
I heard that before Tanya did.
My mom
and
will
I kinda
hear.
I liked it.
My mom will hear a slang and not know what it means, but then get fixated on it and use it for like a month straight.
Correctly. Use it correctly after I do the research. I'm a writer, so I really, words do fascinate me. That's for sure.
Okay, well, but who do you think did slang better, Generation X or Millennials?
Well, I think millennials have their own language. I don't know if I'd call it slang, some of it, but I kind of like Generation X slang. I think it's kind of cool.
What kind of slang did you use in the 60s? What did people say?
I'm so worried that I can't remember anything, but what comes to mind immediately is groovy.
Yeah.
Does anybody use groovy anymore?
Not so
much.
Really.
Right. And the one that goes sort of crosses the barrier is a peace out.
Yeah.
I like peace out. I told Tanya about a few.
Oh, my mom was a hippie, by the way.
Nah.
Yeah.
Not much.
So groovy and peace out.
Peace out was a big one. There's a couple.
What about in college? At Rutgers, what kind of slang did you guys use?
I'm bullshit. That means you're angry. I'm bullshit.
Wait.
First time I heard it.
Weird.
I never heard it before. It's a Boston thing. And my roommate was angry at me. And that's what she said. And I said, what the hell does that mean? I can't even fight back. I don't know what it means.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd be able to fight back either.
You don't know what to say about something like
that. Use your
that.
Words. No fighting. Use your words.
We use slang for a lot of things like New Brunswick itself, where we, you know, I went to school there. We'd call it New Brumfus. Are you going to Brumfus? You also had, I think, one that's sort of stayed through the ages is Benny's. If you're from Jersey.
Oh, this is New Jersey, yeah.
New Jersey, you go down the shore, there's a lot of Benny's. That means they're from Bayonne. Where else?
Damn.
Elizabeth, Newark, and New York. Those are sort of outsiders to Southern Jersey, so that one's held up.
Yep.
Well, I think everyone's an outsider to Southern Jersey.
Well, not me.
Not me either.
Southern Jersey's the place, man.
You're the outsider right now, Dan.
Yeah.
I'm not the outsider. Well, I am kind of always the outsider, but so I'm used to it.
Okay, good.
With our next topic, you might be the outsider because I'm going to talk to you about video games.
Okay.
My mom's face.
Pac-Man. Pac-Man.
Okay, so you're more used to like arcade, the good old arcade, not so much like the home consoles.
I hate those because I'm so worried about the violence they exude.
Well,
on people.
It's up for debate, really.
It is, because I love really violent movies, so what's the difference? So I can debate about it, but I don't know.
I'm kind of like I don't think that video games cause violence, because if they did, you'd catch people trying to jump on each other's heads, then pick them up and throw them at each other, like in Mario.
I'm not starting this conversation with you, though, because I work in mental health, and you'll get me on a whole diatribe.
I was just going to ask, you're the expert in this, about this.
Yeah. Social learning theory and such. I'm not going there.
Why not?
Because I will shut you down with evidence and scientific research.
And I can counter that with circumstance.
All right, well, coming back to
anyway, back to my mom.
I love Pac-Man. It was a big thing. Pac-Man, and what's the one with the,
Galactica?
Galactica was really fun, and it was really huge to go out. And to a bar we had all locals, and people would put their name on who was the best, and people would spend tons of money to just get their name right at the top, and it was so cool. It was really fun, and besides that, I don't know much else about video games.
Did you have an Atari? ColecoVision?
No, you guys had a little Game Boy toy.
We had Game Boy, and then you got a Super Nintendo that I still have.
That's it.
We got it for Christmas 1 year.
I don't know. I just...
Maybe someone else.
Yeah, maybe.
We got it 1 year Super Nintendo because I still have it.
Good. I'm glad. I got it then.
Which, on that note, my Super Nintendo somehow from 30 years ago, well, maybe 28 years ago, or whenever it came out, still works, but cell phones made today in the millennial generation can't last more than a year. Why is it?
Because they want people to buy more cell phones.
I know.
I was going to say because Gen X made it better.
Yeah.
Well, Generation X just figured out a way to manipulate those silly millennials by giving them a product that doesn't really work that well, but saying that it works well because...
Now, they're smart.
Because millennials will believe anything you tell them.
This is true.
They make money off of them.
Yes, they do.
All right, what's your next question?
The next question is, well, it's not so much a question. Okay, it's a question. It's a question of acknowledgement. So I have these two terms to define people, which is a amabe and a wannabe. Mm-hmm. An amabe, it's amabe wannabes and look at me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so an
amabe. You're mixing up your own terms.
Yes. Well, I'm still in a bother about this video game thing, but we're not going to go there.
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
So the amabe wannabes are people who don't really earn what they are, but they put themselves on the internet and say that they are what they want to be.
So you know, like the people who post shit on Instagram.
That would be implied credibility or implied celebrity.
Pretty much like somebody who implies that they're credible, and they also imply that they are a celebrity because they've already implied that they're credible at whatever it is that they're trying to be, and which is why I call them an amabe wannabe.
Right.
Now, have you witnessed this? Would you say that this type of person exists?
Yes, but I think in both generations.
Talk more about like Gen X people like that.
Well, what about the Kardashians? When did they start?
No, they're not. They're all millennial.
Yeah.
They're all millennials.
So think of just like 70s and 80s, 60s, 70s and 80s when you're thinking back on Gen X. Like, were people like that when you were in college or in high school?
Well, people would follow the flow and want to do whatever marketing is built on. You know, marketing builds all that wannabe, whatever, et cetera. It's all about marketing. So if you had somebody wanting to peace out or be groovy and it was a cool part of the moment, that's what it was. And I think with the amabe wannabes, a little bit later on, I don't know if they're millennials, but look at all the gangster music that came out, the gangster rap and NWA and Compton music. And how many kids wanted to do that? Little white kids.
Yeah.
You know, and how much was made in money by the people who were selling the clothes, et cetera, because they were real clothes.
Mm.
And then they became, you know, urban streetwear, and then it became fashionable, and then they went with it. So there was a lot of room for wannabes and amabes, you know, these little fake gangster kids, but not like today.
How about with the hip, in the heyday of like Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and stuff, did you have like people who, like now people go to a music festival and spend the weekend as a hippie, but then go back to their like,
no, there's some true followers. What was they follow?
Yeah.
You know, the Grateful Dead had an incredible following, and that was, you know, sort of for real. I don't know if that would fall into the wannabe amabe. They were just there enjoying.
Yeah.
And in today's millennial day, you have people, you know, who spend a couple hundred bucks on their patchwork dress.
Yeah. See?
And I'm going to be, we saw that phenomenon in Hunter with music in the past where somebody comes up over the weekend and they're coming up in suits and in their Saabs and Porsches and they just like whip the white shirt off and pop on the tie-dye. So amabe wannabes, they come from all walks of life. But
what was it like back then if you were part of a group, like if you were like into rock music or into, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and the Grateful Dead, because you didn't have social media to connect with people and stuff. Like, how did you find other people into your scene?
Nightclubs, clubs, underground clubs, you know, in general, there were great radio stations back then that were putting out, you know, radio stations were a good source of like as far as music, et cetera. The one radio station in Long Island that introduced so many different artists, et cetera. So you kind of wind up going with what you like. There were probably three or four stations. One was rock and roll. One was country. One was new wave. And one was who the hell knows, you know, but kind of a combination of everything. And then they called it light.
Yeah.
You know, so you started listening to that. If they had events, you'd go to those events. You had hardcore followers that were like the Deadheads.
Mm-hmm.
you know, followers like that. And there were different groups of people that kind of did that. But now it's like, let's go to a show. I'm going to spend $600 so I can pull my RV up. I'm going to spend this. So those are really, that's not the real thing.
And how about going to shows? Were you able to do, like, because you go to music now and you've always gone to music shows. Back in Gen X, I feel like the stories are more fun. Like you were able to sneak into shows and get away with stuff that people don't now.
Yes. And you know, with some of those people, like with Hot Tuna and Yorma, they don't forget people who made impressions at their shows, and they were very approachable, and that was really cool. You know, we have a friend that has remained friends with them over a silly incident he did, but that was, you know, another time to be talked about. But, you know, it's just a whole nother situation with the music, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever sneak into shows?
All the time. I snuck into the front rows when I could. I faked it with injuries to get towards the front row. Are you kidding me? I worked in production at Rutgers and did quite a bit of work, you know, everywhere I could to be. I like the background. Mm-hmm. So behind the scenes, you know.
So you definitely were not a I'm-a-be wannabe yourself.
No.
No, my mom and her friends were all very legit. They still are in music.
Now, what do you think about the Look At Me's?
And the Look At Me's are who?
The Kardashians.
The Kardashians, or like just people who are constantly taking selfies of themselves no matter what they're doing.
I want to smack them. And I'll tell you why, because it's really frustrating to begin with all these people. Look At Me's, they're taking so many pictures. You can't have a conversation.
Yeah.
David Grohl said it well when I think we saw him in Irving Plaza. When he said,
that was a good show.
Watch the show. Yeah. I've heard so many musicians say that too. Watch the show. Put your phones down.
Chris Cornell too. Chris Cornell, the last time I saw him, actually at the Palace Theater before he committed suicide, he was calling people out for being on their phones. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no one wants to see you with the glare on your face. He's like, I forget what he said. He's like, you look scary with that light.
He said the same thing when he was in Madison Square Garden for Temple of the Dog. I think it's like almost insulting sometimes to the artist.
Oh, I'm sure.
You went to rock concerts before or Broadway shows or whatever, when you went to a show, whatever it was, people didn't take photos.
Well, back
in
Gen X times,
they were respectful. They didn't take phone calls, you know?
Yeah.
They just enjoyed the show. You can't even have a conversation with somebody who's so self-involved that they have to take a picture every time they turn a corner. I think that's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's move on here to the next one.
Okay.
This next group is some more fun stuff. All right.
I like s'mores. You said s'more.
I'll try to stop criticizing everybody.
You. All right.
But I can't help myself.
Well, this next one is kind of like right up Tatiana's alley. Okay. So body modification. Throughout the what have you witnessed or perceived throughout the generations in regards to body modification?
I've been in Austin at the end of the South by Southwest Festival years back when it first started. And back then when we were going out to clubs and stuff, there was a lot of tats and body modifications, and it was really unique. But that work was really beautiful. I don't have a problem with it if it's done for art,
mm-hmm.
or if you're Tatiana's mom and you get a tattoo for support to stand in solidarity with your daughter. Which
my
do.
Mom got a tattoo when I too.
I got three actually, but they, you know, they okay. mean something, you know, and I think that's what it's about, to say, hey, I got a tattoo. Look, it's on my ass, you know, or whatever.
She
it's
doesn't
like
have one on her ass.
No,
but okay. I'm just saying that as a joke.
But if there was one and it had meaning, that's cool. But that's not what it's about now. It's about, let's get it. And then a few months later, a few years, you know, later, okay, I need to get it removed. And then there goes more body modification.
Mm.
So, I have great respect for the artists that do that mm-hmm. and the history of it.
Well, what do you think about like all the piercings, like septum piercings and gauged ears and, you know, like
my husband has gauged ears. Watch your
asking her. I'm not judging.
I've seen people that have horns under their skin. I'm surprised you don't.
You're the devil.
I'm sitting over here being all nice and stuff, and you're telling me I'm
Gen
the devil.
X slang term, right? Burn.
Yes, it's a. Well, okay. Yeah.
No, but I've seen all sorts of things. you know, you have to go back to the culture and why they're doing it. Back when Sid Vicious was doing it, it was a whole thing. And it was not about fashion. It was about meaning, and it was about what they were doing. You didn't, and it was a whole different generation. Now, also, there's a big divide. Somebody like Tatiana, who is doing it and is doing it as a result of being an artist and being a lifelong artist, by the way, in both music and art, fine art. I have great respect for that. And I actually, you know, when something like that happens, if you have 50 piercings by your eye, you know, if that's your thing too, you got to walk your own path. And it's probably better to just witness and say nothing. You know?
Yep.
All right. This next one. Now, I don't know if they had this during like your generation. They definitely had it during mine, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger until they started having conventions for the whole damn thing.
I love it already. You're talking about Comic Cons and Stalker Cons. Are you? Are
what's Stalker Cons? What's a Stalker Con?
Walker Stalker Con.
For the Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, yes, I'm talking about cosplay, and that's...
I love it.
So, all right, so you love cosplay, mm-hmm. but did they have cosplay back in your day?
I don't think so. I think if they did, it would just be Comic-Con. It would be all the way back, and that was like the main major thing. We had Halloween.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. It, you know, everything, I think... That sort of thing springs from technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. And I think it also can connect people to technology. And I think now with being so socially aware of people just being who they want to be and walking on their path, and you have like-minded thinkers that can now connect,
mm-hmm.
I think it's way cool.
Yeah, my mom goes to convention. She came into the Harry Potter convention with me.
Yep.
Did you dress up?
No, because
I dressed
was
up.
Like,
she didn't.
She dressed up. I actually had a t-shirt.
Yeah, that's true. I think I gave you, I got you a Harry Potter t-shirt to wear.
I guess that's kind of participating.
It was my force. I bought it for her, though. I made her wear it.
No, I wear it all the time now. It's very exciting. I enjoyed it. They actually drew more people than one of in Asbury Park than one of a pretty big music venue for that night. It was wild.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got, you know, like Tatiana always says, like-minded thinkers. And
that's
it's
my
cool.
thing. I love like-minded thinkers. And you went to the Stalker convention.
I totally loved it. And you know.
Walker Stalker for Walking Dead, not real stalkers.
It. Okay. Not,
that'd be a jail.
Half those guys live right over in Rhinebeck, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Did any of them smell weird?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not
such
yet.
A weird question.
What? Some of them smell.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about odoriferous costumes?
No. Dan is convinced that there's orgies that happen at cosplay things.
There are orgies that happen at cosplay things.
Is he talking about like Furbies?
No.
No, that's a different thing.
Those are furries. And... And there's also cloppers, not to be confused with bronies.
And there's also sloshing that has to do with food.
Oh, God, that sounds...
Do you know that slang?
Yes, I know. I try to block some things out after I hear them sloshing.
No,
being
sploshing, excuse me.
Yeah, sploshing
God.
And all that business. But it's the bronies that really intrude. No, yeah, the... Not the bronies, the cloppers that really intrigue me
God.
Because I don't understand
They do not have orgies at these cosplays.
Yes, they do.
I've gone to so many.
Just haven't been invited.
No, you know who's having the orgies? The people putting on the show. And they deserve it. How's that?
People running the event.
Right, because they're going crazy making it happen. That's
what
I
smell?
Say. No, but you know what? I think if people were skiing and they were in a ski festival, they fall in love or... Fall in lust.
Well, that's
and
like all the 80s movies is about like orgies, like hot dog and
But I also think the same thing happens at cosplays. People hook up. What are you going to do?
I think it smells like mayonnaise.
Oh my God, gross. I'm going to throw this pen at you.
Well, a lot of those people
we
could
should make
be a little...
video of you eating a scoop of mayonnaise.
No, never. No.
He doesn't like mayo, I take it.
I like very little
just
mayo.
Eating a big scoop
no,
of it,
no,
and we'll put it on our YouTube.
No. Oh, God, no. Ugh.
So I guess I won't win points saying that one of my favorite sandwiches is a mayo sandwich.
It depends on how much mayo you
My mom puts a lot on. She needs a straight up mayo sandwich. It's disgusting.
I will dip the knife in. I will pull it out.
Oh my god!
And then I scrape what is on the knife onto the bread, and that's how I put mayo on a sandwich.
Maybe it's a Gen X thing because we have all these fancy condiments now.
I don't know what it is.
Everything's been too pigeonholed and categorized. It could be.
Yeah.
All right, so we just talked about cosplay, and no one wants to agree with me that they have orgies and they smell.
No, I agreed with you. My mom said that people probably hook up.
But that's not like an orgy.
All right, let's move on. There's no orgies at cosplay conventions. Let's move on.
I think the orgy's in your head.
No, it's not, because I'm not a part of the orgy.
I'm
not fantasizing. All right, fashion's next.
Oh, man.
I want to talk a little about fashion throughout the generations. We touched upon that in the very beginning a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the thing that gets me about fashion with millennials is how some of the fashions sexualize children, where in Generation X and going even further back, like baby boomers and all that, like kids dressed like kids. And nowadays, kids don't dress like kids. It seems like they want to dress like people that they saw in videos and stuff. And like, you have 12-year-olds wearing juicy shorts that come up to their butt cheeks and stuff like that. So what's your perception of fashion throughout the generations, and do you agree with me that millennials are taken a little bit too far with the sexualization of
I like kids being kids. I always did. Not only the sexualization, but how about the marketing end? Again, it has to be a cool outfit, and it has to be made by or whatever label.
Like a brand, like implied popularity.
Right. It has. Everybody's got to have one, or everybody's got to have this organic T-shirt, or everybody's got to have, you know, it's that they're training. Parents are unconsciously training their kids, I think, to be who they are and to get them ready to buy stuff in the market.
Yeah. Mm.
So again, that's the way I feel. I love kids being kids. I love them dressing. In my house, they were always, after a certain point, everybody had to do their own thing when they were getting dressed. Sometimes it took hours in the morning when they were little kids, but they did it. There always had to be a conversation on which outfit Tatiana wanted to wear.
I had my dress-up trunk.
She did. I think it's still there somewhere at this point.
I love dressing up in costumes as a kid. I had a dress-up trunk full of costume outfits that I would wear every day.
That she probably would have worn every day to school if she could have.
Yeah. But Spirit Week I did.
Yep.
I used to get decked out for Spirit Week.
So yeah, kids being kids is cool. Kids not being kids or trying to be little adults, as far as I'm concerned, is not cool. I don't like the way millennials are raising kids today already. You know, I don't like any part of that is how much I don't like it.
What was it like when David Bowie came out with fashion and stuff?
Well, that's back in my...
That's what we're asking. Yeah, back in your day.
Oh, I forgot. No. Back in my day, it was like, you know, New Wave popped out. Let's talk about New Wave. Is that Gen X or Millennial?
That's Gen X.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure. I don't know where these lines constantly bend, all these borders.
I don't think that Millennials really embrace New Wave.
No, unfortunately.
No, it was like...
And
there
it's
was,
so good.
With everything and every kind of music, there was always some kind of stuff coming out. Some kind of outfits and clothes. None of them, people weren't running around half naked all the time, you know, which is, you know, you want to run around half naked, do it, but you don't have to follow a hero to do it. You know, you have to, you know, David Bowie, chameleon. He was a chameleon of fashion. You know, you had New Wave, which was like all this funky, everything kind of fashion. The hairdos were out of control. Now, these days, everything's like almost like wearing a uniform, like I said.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to have the same haircut. Everybody's got to have the same thing going on. And in Gen X, you had all these generations of people wearing all these different things as they popped into the timeline. And by the end of it, everybody was wearing what the hell they wanted to. And it looked simply beautiful. To be honest, if people were originals. Everybody didn't have to wear the same damn thing.
Mm.
Ha ha, millennials, you're not original. You're not individuals. You're just self-entitled.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. And this next one, I think, is going to be everyone's favorite topic to discuss. I'm talking about one of the, I'll call him the prince of the slackers, because in my opinion, Richard Linklater is the king of the slacker, but we're going to talk about Kevin Smith now. And Kevin Smith definitely represents Generation X. Do
okay.
you agree?
Lucky for you. I thought you were going to say something not very nice about my hero.
My mom's obsessed with Kevin Smith. Hey. I told you she turned me on to Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, and by the way, I think you'll really enjoy this. Please let me interject, because I've been telling Tatiana about this for weeks. Jay and Silent Bob are doing a reboot, which you'll love, because all they're doing is they're making fun of sequels, prequels, reboots, redos, da-da-da-da-da. So it's right up your alley.
And that's something I can appreciate, because I can't stand reboots. In fact, I can't stand the fact that people keep on confusing the term reboot with continuation, sequel, or prequel, like Roseanne. Roseanne was not a reboot, yet everyone kept on calling it a reboot. If it's a reboot, then it severs all continuity from the original.
Right.
But we're not talking about, well, this is kind of relevant to Kevin Smith. So Kevin Smith, I feel that represents Generation X almost like a T, because he lived through the 80s and all that. In his movies, like, he has all like the coolest references.
I was like, why did that pause just happen?
Yeah, what was that?
That was weird.
What?
Keep going.
Well, what do you do?
He had the coolest references.
Dead air doesn't make for good podcasts.
I was going to say something, but
then you forgot.
No, I didn't forget. I'm being courteous here. You're the one that keeps on interrupting everyone and laughing at everyone.
I do. I know.
Okay. So how familiar are you with the Viewaskew universe?
With the what?
What is the Viewaskew universe?
That's Kevin Smith movies.
Oh, like the whole setting?
Well, Viewaskew is the production company.
Yeah.
So.
I'm so confused.
So you're asking, am I familiar with Kevin Smith's movies?
Yes.
I was thinking, because Dan's super into comic books. So when he said universe, I was thinking, like, when you talk about 10th Planet 10 and Planet 8.
Everything.
I just got so confused.
Smith movies have their own universe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but.
Okay.
You were taking me down in my mind. I was so confused, because I was thinking about, like, when you're talking about Batman and you're like, that happened on Generation 10 or whatever.
No, I'm talking about Kevin Smith is a DC fan.
I know.
He's a Marvel fan,
too. I know. They have their comic store in Red Bank. We should road trip down one time.
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Indeed. But tell us about your favorite Kevin Smith movies and why.
I think the very first one of Clerks was my very first one, because that's when I discovered the both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really relatable in my day to have, it was different with somebody working at a convenience store now than then. It was really back in the Gen X times, it was really like you knew the guy or the gal doing it. You knew the people, you were a local, you know, if you weren't a local, they'd know. Now it's just like, go. Where's your cash? Go, you know, and it hands turn over all the time. So I really enjoyed that one. I was younger, so I could relate to that with some of the things going on in my life, which was fun. You know, just, you know, that's all I'll say. All right. She's starting to giggle. So.
Okay. Well, I doubt you're referencing playing hockey on the roof of a store.
No, I'm not.
Rooftop golf.
Other stuff.
Other stuff like the milkmaids?
Other stuff.
The guidance counselor.
Make milkmaid your face. Other stuff.
The cigarette smoking part.
Yeah.
The Chewlies gum representative stirring up all that anti-smoking stuff to sell more gum.
Yes.
It had nothing to do with a guy in a bathroom stall, did it?
No.
I know that scene.
No. Nope.
37? No. Okay. What'd you think of Mallrats?
Mallrats I loved also. That was cool. That was, who was in that? Was it Woody Allen and Bette Midler? Or is that a different movie I'm thinking
about? No, you're thinking of a different movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I've
seen
so many different movies.
Mallrats has Ben Affleck in it, too.
Okay.
It's a whole crew.
Don't start off with Ben. Mallrats has Jason Lee, Shannon Doherty, Jay, Silent Bob, Jeremy London.
Dan hates Ben Affleck and all of it. But he's great in those movies.
Who?
Ben
he
Affleck.
Is good.
He's
he is
just
good
being
in those
himself.
Right.
He's great.
Right. That's
but he
why
jokes
he's good
about
at
it. He's great about it.
He always looks like he's going to vomit.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? He always looks like he's nauseous. That's the only problem with
him. Probably because he just watched one of his own movies.
Oh,
stop. Funny.
Okay, so going on Mallrats and me like saying that Kevin Smith is, you know, one of the epitomes.
Yes.
Of Generation X and how he represents the generation.
Yes.
Did you hang out at the mall?
Did I hang out at the mall? Yes. Because it was a different scene. That's where you would meet people and talk to people and hang out. And that's where people would say, hey, I'll meet you at the mall. So it wasn't like a specific date. You know, you didn't have dates. You had groups of people going in there, you know, and it's a little different than it is now.
Mm.
That's for sure. But yeah, totally love the mall.
What'd you think about Chasing Amy?
Chasing Amy, I liked a lot. Mm-hmm. I liked the whole comic book thing going on with
he's
writing a comic book about her, et cetera, et cetera. I always find that it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
You know? He kind of, you know, didn't get it with her and who she was to begin with.
Well, it was Ben Affleck, so.
You know, so, you know, I don't know. I would have liked them to stay friends versus going into the whole let's experiment and see if this works, even though it's not who I am.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. What about Dogma?
Dogma.
Remember how obsessed Alana was with Dogma
It was because of Alanis.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My other daughter was in love with Alanis Morissette, so forget about it. And Titanic, which has nothing to do with this, but she was so obsessed with that.
Here's something interesting about Dogma, I feel, is that Dogma kind of like it challenged religion. It really like, you know, it shook things up. But I feel that generations prior to that wouldn't have like the nerve or the balls to approach religion like Kevin Smith did in Dogma.
I think you're absolutely right about that. I think that back when he was doing that, it was unique to even speak about anything like that compared to these days where everybody's like all over the place about religion, et cetera. It was very bold. I think it came up against a little bit of criticism, too.
Yeah, people protested. It was huge. Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know.
Yeah.
I have a friend who challenged the protesters.
Really?
I think
what
I told the story.
I can't remember.
They were protesting the movie in Latham, and my friend went to where they were protesting the movie, and he challenged one of the protesters to go see the movie. He yelled out 10 bucks.
Oh, yeah, I remember you saying this. Yeah.
He held out 10 bucks and said, because the protest was saying that their pastors heard about the movie and put out a newsletter about how bad the movie, about how the movie was, you know, blasphemy and it was sinful.
But is that really different than you judging Gotham without seeing it?
No.
Because you heard about it. How is it?
I heard that episode.
How is it different?
Because I've seen clips of Gotham.
Clips,
I've let people tell me about Gotham.
Okay, so this pastor heard about Dogma. People told him about it, just like you said. Who knows if he saw clips or not? It's not seeing the whole thing. How is that different?
Because these people didn't know what the movie was about, didn't see a trailer, just read something in a pamphlet. I've actually I've given Gotham a chance.
You've watched what? How many total minutes of Gotham have you watched?
Like 22.
Okay, that doesn't count.
It
See,
pisses me off too
okay.
much.
Okay, you're just—it's like your own confirmation bias.
We haven't even gotten the Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
I know, or
I
the
love
stand-up.
That one.
Or the stand-up, or the podcast, which my mom is obsessed with.
Well, there's plenty.
My mom cheats on our podcast with their podcast.
There's plenty more Kevin Smith movies, though. That's what I meant about the VSQ universe, like Vulgar, Drawing Flies,
I don't know if my mom
Red
has seen
State.
Those. I don't know. Have you
some
seen
some of them? But some of them are the indie movies, like the crazy indie movies. I don't quite remember.
Vulgar and Drawing Flies, I don't believe are technically Kevin Smith movies. Like he didn't write and direct them, but I think I forget which one was Scott Mosier's. But that's why they call it the VSQ universe, because it takes place the same production company puts them out. They're written and directed by different people, but apparently it's all part of the same universe. Like the movie Vulgar is about the clown that you see in the intro when they show the VSQ production symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie is just kind of twisted.
Yeah. But
Red State was kind of interesting, actually. Red State was about gun violence and crazy church people.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I recommend it.
Either way.
Of course, there's other Kevin Smith movies, but we're all in agreement that Kevin Smith rocks, and he's a great representation of what a Generation Xer is and how a Generation Xer can make the world better through their art.
Yes.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And I was about his age, I think. I'm a little bit older than he is, so we definitely could relate. It was very bold, some of the stuff he was doing, now that you reminded me.
And my mom cheats on our podcast with his.
Your mom cheats on us with Kevin Smith?
Yeah. And they have a good podcast that she
But I hear
to.
All of your podcasts. Every one.
Why, thank you.
Well, my daughter's on it. Just joking.
How about Howard?
I'm a big fan.
How about Howard Stern over the years from back
I
then
I followed
to now?
Howard Stern back from the 80s. And boy, did he cracked it wide open. He was the first one. And he got fired for so many things, like Kevin Smith being the first one and being bold. He was bold in the radio world. He did something nobody else ever did. And he basically, he didn't take failure. He just kept at it. And, you know, that's why I thought, uh-oh, Tanya might have a little something going on, because Howard Stern used to punk his mom all the time.
It's like, oh, I told Dan to play it safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bite back. Well,
she was actually getting angry at me earlier, like in this podcast when we're talking about things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I know how they'll turn.
What?
Yeah, she
I know
probably
how
knows.
They'll turn.
She sees the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. I know you both.
So we're under the Tatiana microscope here, aren't we?
Uh-huh. Welcome to my world.
Okay. All right. Then this next one.
I texted my dad a photo of my mom at the mic just now, and writes back, Howard Stern. That's where things will turn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Howard Stern was always very bold. He's just taking it even further. I mean, production-wise, you don't want to hear about. You just want to hear the stuff he was talking about to start off with. He got thrown out of Washington. But he stayed with it. And Howard Stern today, now he's a brand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He also built Bon Jovi, like it or not. I mean, they would be on their show all the time. He promoted them. He marketed them. But he was also marketing a homegrown
rock group.
Yeah. So I kind of like that whole deal. And I kind of would like to dream that that would still go on podcasts and things like that.
Well,
yeah, he was awesome. Nobody liked him when I liked him.
We used to listen. My mom would have us listen to Howard Stern every single morning driving to school, like in like middle school and stuff. Oh.
Well, yeah. You know, we live out in the boonies, so I always did want to have
like
my 20 kids 20-minute
drive to school.
Right, and I wanted to make sure that they would be exposed to everything and become good world citizens. We were in New York all the time for mental health days in the city. I mean, those kind of things are important.
I don't get mental health days. However,
maybe you should.
We're going to try.
Why do you think I turned out so cool?
Well, hey, well, were you saying that I'm not cool? All right. This next one is a safe topic.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about a little.
I don't know types of safes. That's weird.
What?
The Italian job.
Like, safe topic, literal safes. Anyway.
No. Thanks for the pun.
Jeez. Where's the bad pun music?
Oh, hold on. I feel like we're going to need it.
I know. Can we find it? Oh, man.
For Tatiana's safe comment.
Oh,
let's give
so
another
funny.
One. Because I was about to talk about a safe topic, which is mixtapes, the lost art of mixtapes.
Oh, yeah.
So the question I have for you is, did you make mixtapes?
Yes, and it was the coolest thing when music came out and it wasn't on a record anymore. And 8-tracks kind of would work. You'd have to have a boombox and stuff like that, and you'd have the 8-tracks. And then the cassette came out, and it was like, you know, the holy grail. You can do stuff. You can record stuff, you know, with that. So we totally love to do cassettes. I made mixtapes of everything. I still do the same thing now on a playlist on my phone, but let me tell you, there was mixtapes for breakups, mixtapes because you fell in love with somebody, mixtapes for dancing, you know,
everything.
It was fun. I think there's still a few floating around the house that I will never admit to.
but now people have like these impersonal playlists that they can just post online and say, yeah, I made playlists because I think this is cool. And I agree with you. Like back then, someone would make a mixtape if they had a bad breakup or something, or like a mixtape was just like so important. It was like a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
Or a mixtape was somebody's salvation. Where I don't think that millennials can truly embrace what a good mix can do.
I don't think so either.
No,
they can't.
I don't think their attention span honestly goes that far.
It's true.
Who's read a book? You know, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of millennials who read books, but the attention, it took a lot of work to make a mixtape. And then you always had the snafu about what happens towards the end if the song doesn't finish in time. Oh, my God.
That's what we talked about with Candace. It's like, do you start it on the next thing or what do you do?
Keep going. And then, you know, so, yeah.
Okay. We have three more topics here, and then we're going to have a little game. But this next one, I don't know if I want to do it or not, but why not? Okay, sports.
Okay, what about them?
So, sports through the generations. I feel that millennial athletes are entitled, of course, or at least they're self-entitled, where sports during Generation X, it was a lot more grittier. Well, also millennial sports are a little bit softer, and I feel that Generation X and Baby Boomer sports were harder, and you really had to earn your spot when it came to sports, whereas millennial sports, everything's soft, and everyone gets treated with a velvet glove, and okay, am I wrong here?
No, unfortunately.
You know how I feel about this.
Yeah. Everybody gets a participation medal as millennials, I guess. And here's a good example, a metaphor towards that, okay? Did you watch Wide World of Sports and see that guy crash for the agony of the defeat?
Oh,
Saturday there would be a guy who was a high jumper and would crash. It was like a big thing and everybody wanted to know, was he okay? Yeah, that's what sports were about right there. You had to make your own name. Depending on how popular the sport was, you also had to break out and make the sport stronger and more popular, you know. There was and now it's like, okay, first of all, with the kids, they're all on a team.
It's true,
everybody gets whatever, you know. Unfortunately, somebody said to me something like, why can't everybody be good? Because no matter what, there's always somebody who has a specialty in this and a specialty in that, and to not recognize that as millennials would be doing your children a great disservice, as far as I'm concerned. As for the celebrity thing,
yeah,
going
we were
on,
told when we weren't good enough at stuff.
No, I made them be good enough. Don't worry. Listen, one thing I could say is when she was touring and skiing, she got up every morning and made her bed in the hotels. The ladies couldn't believe it, and you know, yada yada yada. She was good.
Yeah. I never got participation medals. I had to earn my medals.
No, it's about working for it. I mean, all this stuff now. Suddenly there's like one guy who nobody knows, and there's 15 different people, and they want pictures. It's all about pictures. I'm like, do you know who he is? No, but everybody's there. You know, so then suddenly he gets another 50 fans versus somebody like, you know, Joe Namath, who was doing everything possible, Broadway Joe, to build who he was, and... he was a good example as far as for kids and stuff. Now forget about it, what the kids learn from some of the athletes.
Yeah. Well, that answers my second question on that without me even asking. But yeah, I agree with you that sports icons today are kind of spoiled, kind of self-entitled. Their popularity is implied, where Baby Boomer and Generation X sports icons, they really had to earn it.
I agree, they really had to earn it. And I also think that the ones who stayed humble and were gracious, did really well for themselves. They were good examples. People now, like I said, where can you pick out? You can pick out a few athletes who are a good representation and who worked to get there. But how many, you know, like they all worked. But how many, you know, like this guy gets more marketing, he gets more advertisements because he worked, that is what I'm saying. Yeah. Versus like, so, okay, you're only making this much on the field right now, okay? But if you do this in this day and age, then you can have so many more advertisements and so much money and whatever. Back then when you had good old Broadway Joe, he had to really work it and make a name for himself. And there were no selfies and no all this fake celebrity. And he walked the talk. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. I think that athletes walked the talk back in my day.
All right, moving on next. Okay, pets. Do you feel that millennials exploit their pets where Generation Xers just had a pet?
I don't know about first of all, as a Generation Xer, I have to tell you that the pets that I've had have been better to me than most people. So if I had to go the distance and do something for them, I would, as far as health-wise. However, it's a little bit over the top these days. And again, the industry is incredible, you know, for all of it.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff coming out of it, but wearing a tutu or a pinata hat or something, I don't know, is a little bit too much, unless it's Halloween, you know, and you got a costume that works with a dog, you know?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Dan, do you dress up BB-8?
No, I do not.
Have you ever dressed up BB-8?
If we tried to dress up BB-8, he would eat whatever we put on him. That dog won't stop.
Did you tell him about Lola? When did you put the horns on her?
Oh, she chewed him up. We tried to put horns on my dog, and they were like ripped to shreds in a minute. Yeah, she was awesome.
Sounds a lot like BB-8.
She definitely let you know
what
she liked and didn't like.
Okay, so we've pretty much touched upon every topic that we've ever discussed, with the exception of a few. However, I saved the best for last. Do you have any good ghost stories?
Yes.
Ooh, please tell, please tell, please tell.
Real ones or implied ones?
A real one. A good ghost story that you experienced that happened to you.
When I was a kid and we were down, we have a family grounds and we call it the farm. And I was down at the farm, and when we were little, we also used to run through the cemeteries and play manhunt. So that was very cool. And we were
saying manhunt, man. Manhunt's where it's at.
That's right. That's sort of like the non-video version of those war games, right? So there's a cemetery across the river we'd run to, and to this day, I swear there was a white figure. We said, you know, the kids, we immediately embellished and said, woman in white, you know, but it did look like a she. And that was the end of manhunt for that day, because everybody ran home. We were scared to cross. Well, that evening, scared to cross the river. We had to have people walk me back to the river, et cetera, and cross the river, you know? So yeah, that was scary. And I kind of still, now, if I'm alone sometimes, I don't know if I'd go back into a cemetery at night again. Oh, I don't think we did after that.
So did you ever listen to Art Bell?
To what?
Art Bell.
Coast to Coast?
You know Art Bell. He did all the ghost stories. He was the radio broadcaster for years.
People called in and told their ghost.
You know Art Bell.
Yeah. Now,
I don't know that I listened to him, though.
Oh, one more like ghost and like supernatural related question is, do you think that millennials have exploited that for themselves as well?
Like with all the ghost shows we watch on TV, stuff like that.
Because Generation X, baby boomers, we didn't have that. What's the most that we had? We had the Twilight Zone and it was fictional, but all of a sudden, like you had this outbreak of ghost hunter shows where everyone was some kind of like paranormal expert, even the cheesy little Wiccans.
First of all, we have...
Wiccans are not cheesy. No.
Well, you're kind of looking at your phone there, and I wanted to draw you back in.
There you go.
I was checking my email.
The paranormal shows we had were more like Bewitched.
And
The Ghost and Mrs. Muir.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so those are... Oh, you're watching that local public TV thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. I'm obsessed. I love public access TV. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not. I'm obsessed with public access TV. You get all the good stuff.
All the oldies.
You get all the good shit on public access.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
It's fun. Anyway, I do think it's a little over the top, but I think all these reality shows are a little over the top.
Yeah.
You know, in general, it's like too much sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
You need to have 7 shows that have 4 people living in the same house, and when are they going to beat each other up? You know, so it's the same thing. I would stick with, I don't follow those shows, but if there was one that had credibility that's been around for a while, that would be the one I'm watching.
All right. Now, to close out this episode of the Generation X Files, we're going to play a little game.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you a choice, though. Not you, Tatiana, your mom.
Oh, fine. Okay.
All right. I'm going to give you a choice. We have 2 games on this show that we play. One we just introduced in the last episode. There's another that we've done in 2 episodes. So I'm going to give you a choice. We can either play Change My Mind, where somebody makes a statement and then everyone else has to change their mind about it. Or we can do a round of the good old hate list, where we each say something that we hate to get it out there, get it off our chest, vent a little, you know, just so that we feel good to hate.
Not hate list.
Way. All right, hate list it is. Hold on a second.
Hate list. I don't know if I can hate everything enough, but I'll try.
Here we go.
This is Dan's hate list.
It's time for the hate list.
Chris wrote that.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris.
He's so talented.
For writing the theme to the hate list, something that is decades old now. Literally, this thing is decades old, and Chris has given it its anthem. And so now we will do the hate list. We will go around. We're going to start with Tatiana, then go to your mom, then back to me.
We're starting with me?
Yeah.
That's different.
Why not?
It's different.
It's not different. We've started with you before.
Okay. I hate that it's not Halloween every day.
What was the question that you're supposed to hate?
Yeah. Anything. You just pick something to hate.
Yeah, you pick something to hate on, and you vent a little bit about it. In this case, Tatiana's being really weak about it.
You chose to start with me. I'm not warmed up yet.
Okay, fine. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah,
so
first.
That I can warm everyone up?
I want to see how much you can hate so I know where the...
Oh, don't unleash Pandora's box.
our last episode would change my mind like I vented about like so much, but let me think here. What's something that I really can't stand?
Does it have to be a millennial hate or
no? Just in general,
just a hate.
It has to be something like just in general. And I'm thinking right now. Okay, so it's summer vacation right now. Okay, got it.
Okay, go.
I can't stand bad campers. I'm talking about those people that get so excited about their camping trip, but they're just doing it to say that they're going camping. They don't genuinely enjoy it. And then they show up at the campsite and they complain about everything. They complain about the bugs. They complain about the heat. They complain if the fire's too high. They complain if you stay up too late. Because the point of going camping is to get away from the norm and really celebrate your animal instincts. No one wants to bring No one wants you to bring a generator when you're going camping.
That's not camping.
Yeah, and especially people who are going to take selfies while they're going camping.
Yeah, camping is like
nothing,
like off the grid.
And I'll call these people camping tourists. They don't really want to be a part of it. They don't want to even participate in it. They just want to say they're doing it so that they sound cool. And then when they get home from their camping trip, they don't talk about the good times. All they do is complain. They'll complain about waking up and there was too much like condensation, or it was too sticky out, or there was too many bugs, or I got sunburn.
Okay.
Did I hate enough for you?
Yeah, but that's all. I agree with all of that stuff. Because I love camping. I like going off the grid. That's my one vacation every year, is going on a camping trip where you have to canoe to the site and you stay in tents and no technology, no nothing.
But you have these people nowadays that want to drive up and they have their fancy little tents. And their tents look like a home with like double beds and a flat screen TV and a chandelier inside their tent. That's not a fucking tent. All that a tent is a sleeping bag inside. You barely spend any time in the tent.
That's exactly what we do. You sleeping bag, a tent, you hike, you fish. You know,
there's even people with espresso machines.
I showed you glamping.
Yeah.
I showed you glamping.
That is what is being put on the hate list right now. And that is glamping, because that is not camping. You are not camping. You're not camping if you go to freaking, what do you call it? L.L. Bean and go buy a bunch of fancy stuff. And then you hop over to Bed Bath & Beyond. And then you hop over. I don't know. Tatiana, what's the store you shop at?
Where do I shop?
Yeah.
Hot Topic and H&M and Francesca's.
Okay, H&M and Francesca's. You don't go there and then bring everything you bought.
But those aren't camping clothes. Those are regular cute boutiques.
But that's what these glam. That's what these glamping people are doing.
They do. They go to like Express and buy like $70 sweatpants to wear.
The lumber sexuals. And you know what I think? The metro sexuals.
Yeah. And you know what I think these people are? These are people that miss the dorm days, because they dress their little tent up like it's their fucking college dorm, and they go with all of their old friends from their college, and they reminisce about how drunk they got. Then they try to get drunk, or at least they try to get as drunk as they once were, and they end up sleeping with each other's husbands, and then they fight.
Can I add to that?
I'm glad that they do.
Can I add to that love of hate?
Okay.
I hate adult sleepaway camps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a thing now.
That's what I hate.
Because people miss college dorms. They go on these adult sleepaway camps. It's bizarre.
And they play like, you know, I understand adults needing to learn to play, but, you know, to go there to, I don't know what, play tug of war because you don't know how to do that in your own backyard if you had to.
I don't know. I don't want to go hang out with random people when I'm such an antisocial, though.
Except like-minded thinkers.
Yeah, exactly. I'll go hang out with people at a Harry Potter convention or at a rock concert, but I don't want to go to a random sleepaway camp with random people.
That's a good start for like a horror movie.
I know. We should make that.
So I don't like that. I don't like the pseudo, you know, the fake festival kids. I hate the fake adult campers. I really hate all that kind of stuff. I hate that you have to have 75 different kinds of coffees, you know, because you live in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, but nowhere else, but it has to be here. Or I hate that you have to, everybody's got to, you know, the Talking Heads were wearing all the same kind of clothes or Devo. It's real.
Yeah.
That's what these millennials are doing. I can't stand it. So.
And these are the same type of people that will like show up at a Starbucks and tell the barista how cultured they are because they just got packed from their trip from Italy.
It's ridiculous. That's all I can say. It's just ridiculous. Everybody's running to Starbucks, and when I'm in the city, I look for the best bodega I can find somewhere on the side, and you get a real cup of coffee.
That's because millennials ruin coffee.
I think they might have. I really feel like they might have. It was fine when it was basic, but not anymore. Now you have to have like a whole running dictionary to order a freaking piece of cup of coffee, and they look at you like you're crazy when you order just a regular cup of coffee.
The millennials didn't ruin coffee.
Yes, I did.
No.
Yes, I did.
Gen X took advantage of them. So they both have a hand in it.
Hey.
It's all about marketing.
It's all about marketing.
It wouldn't exist if the millennials didn't buy it.
We did a whole episode on this.
Yes, we did.
We got my mom's hate list item now.
Okay.
That's what I said. I hate.
Yeah, she hates the adult
sleepaway camps.
Oh, that was your thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I hate them.
The frat boys and the sorority sisters.
It's the whole mindset.
Well, there was a whole diatribe there, so I didn't know if it was going off piggyback off you or if it was a separate thing.
I kind of built on his hate.
Inspired, yes.
Okay. Inspired, very good word.
My hate thing, honestly, I've been thinking about this lately, which is silly, because I'm all about mental health and, like, you know, working in psychiatry and access to mental health. But it kind of goes in the I'm a bee wannabe category where, for some reason, every other random person on Instagram is a fucking motivational speaker. Like, literally on Instagram.
Influencers.
Oh, my. Yeah. Like, what is this? And these people have, like, thousands of followers. They're just random people. And their info is, like, their bio is, like, motivational speaker. Motivational whatever. Motivational.
Or healer.
I'm like, what credibility do these people have? Like, who are they? Like, I get it. Share your life story, whatever. But all of a sudden, they're the professional. Like, every other person on Instagram is a fucking professional motivational speaker. You know, I don't get it.
Or a healer. Or somebody that's going to be, you know, good lifestyle.
Like, exactly. Like, so what?
I started hashtagging us as influencers to be sarcastic.
There you go.
I love it.
Because I agree. It is a stupid thing.
Now, right?
Like, anyone with a social media account can, like, feel like they're relevant and helping
somebody.
People out.
Like, lifestyle coach.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, lifestyle coach, motivator. And
And I'm like, and I'm all about people having access and, like, to mental health stuff and people influencing other people with their stories and being open, but like every other person is a fucking like lifestyle coach. I'm like, what credibility do these people have? Like, what makes you able to be a lifestyle coach or a motivational speaker or an influencer? Like, where's your credibility?
That they have a phone and a subscription to, I don't know, what's a cheesy magazine?
The Star.
What?
Inquirer. Oh my god!
Either that, or they've been to Europe before.
Yeah, so now they're like a lifestyle influencer.
Yeah, they went to Europe and had an interesting flavor of tea.
Oh man!
All right. Well, I feel that
it's a good episode.
It was a good episode. We got to know your mom, and like through that, I feel that. I feel I've gotten to know you a little bit
and
more.
And I feel like you definitely belong in Gen X because I think you get along with my mom more than I feel like we argue over stuff way more. I feel like everything my mom answered, you get along with. So you're definitely a Gen Xer.
Yeah, we pretty much like agreed on everything, didn't we?
Yeah. Whereas you and me always argue about everything.
That's because you have bad tastes. I mean, you like Gotham.
Wait a minute. That's my daughter.
Ah!
Then you tell her to stop watching Gotham. Ground her. Ground her and say no more Gotham.
Okay, well, I turned her husband onto it.
See? My mom
I was watching
Gotham.
It first.
Da, da, da.
Exactly.
I just lowered my head.
On that note.
Yes.
It's all good. Everybody has their own path,
sure,
right?
I'll just end it with one statement. You can't have a Joker unless Batman comes first!